Welcome to World Cafe Words and Music from WXBN. I'm David Dye. Our guest today is Jordan Asher, better known by the name Boots. His profile jumped considerably when he made significant contribution to Beyoncé's self-titled fifth album, which led to his success and started his solo career. He's had a couple of mixtapes out on his own, including Motorcycle Jesus, out this year. Recently, he has worked with FKA Twigs and with Run the Jewels. We're going to hear performances today from his band that includes a pair of drummers, a synth player, a bass player, and Boots on guitar. And I asked him how that configuration came to be.
I thought about if I were to see a live show, if I were to see something new, what would get me really, really intensely excited? And for me, the most exciting thing to see live is when there's an incredible drummer on stage. Mm-hmm. So I just took that formula and multiplied it and just thought, what would it be like if you had one drummer who can really hold down the solid rhythmic elements and one who's just kind of a total wild card, and how that plays together in a live show? Because a lot of the rhythms that I do when I record, you would have to have, you know, nine arms to get all of the counter rhythms happening, and now we have that, a bit of that element with two different people.
That said, was it important to have you have all those rhythms be live for you?
Because absolutely,
a lot of people could do it with tracks and things.
Yeah, and I you know, not to knock anyone else who does it, but I, you know, I come from a background of live music and you know, live drums and rock and roll and in hip hop too. But there was always an element that if you saw the right kind of hip hop drummer who could play like a sample, that it just was more exciting to me.
Yeah,
you know. So it's preferred for me. Cool. To have the rhythm represented live.
Well, now that we've talked about what it's going to sound like, let's hear what it sounds like. This is this. You'll hear that when it kicks in, but this is a great song called Mercy.
Tuck my gun into your ways, suck your thumb, cry off your face, 'cause we're losing light. Yeah, you're losing light. I'm a club immoral dreams, all the hero worship, kings and queens are dead and gone. Yeah, they're dead and gone. Oh, be right there waiting. Up a spine, no more lying every time. The daggers in your eyes, get the devil on the line. Shivers up a spine, I was lying every time. Daggers in your eyes, get that evil off my screen, off my toes. Tuck my gun into your waist, suck your thumb, dry off your face, 'cause we're losing light. You're losing light. Take a mercy shot at mercy, me a poet's dream, the glowing sea.
Live in the World Cafe today, that is Boots, and we're getting a chance to talk with Boots, Jordy Asher, today about this this wide variety of music you've been involved in. And it's interesting for me to hear you talk about how important the live experience is for you. I was reading you have an archive of like 40,000 samples of all kinds of cool things, and you do work that way a lot as a producer.
I think that the sample library is well into the hundreds of thousands at this point.
Okay. I'm sorry. It was old.
No. No offense.
Wow. How do you keep track of that?
Oh, man. The strangest thing is I know where every single thing is. Every single thing. And I've been collecting it since I was about 15, 16. Uh-huh. You know, there's that keeper quality that we all have. And, oh, I want that to hold on to. You know, you see those shows sometimes where the people collect all sorts of things after. I think anyone can have that to a degree. It just mine happens to be an invisible place where I keep all of it.
Jordy, it's called hoarders.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a sound hoarder. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I'll do sessions with people, you know, a year ago, Sun Lux and I went to a studio in Brooklyn and just made noise for like 5 hours. And I went through all 5 hours of it and cut it up. Oh, I like that. I love that. Keep that. Put that there. This and this and this and that. And it was that specific day we had lined everything with paper was the idea. And we lined it. We opened up a upright piano and we lined it with tissue paper, and when you held the pedal on it, it would make this sound where it sounded as if the piano was going through a broken speaker. And it was just something we made up. And so we literally did every key, and then we said, what else can we put it on? Put it on a marimba. And it's and he actually sent me a song from his new album that has those marimbas.
Oh, that's
that he
cool.
put on it. So we cut, you know, all sorts of things up, drums, this and that, but I've been doing that since I was about 15, 16, just making sounds. And if I'm stuck, I'll go through that library. I'll say, okay. But usually, most of the time, the reason why that the library is so big is because I just keep making things. Mm-hmm. And I don't ever really backtrack in it. So.
Well, you played some scuzzy guitar in this show, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'd love to go back to the stage and hear I Run Roulette.
I've been up all night, I'm sure you think you might have seen this one or heard it from some other kind of stranger in life. I've been chasing all my thoughts into a funnel, spinning, thrilling every chair in front of me like I'm some spider sent from Mars. I keep pushing all my chips into the center of the table, but I'm split between two shades of everyone. If you don't know, keeping it close. If you don't call, I'm like, run, 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 run.
That is our guest, Boots, and that is I Run Roulette, live on stage at World Cafe Live, and we're getting a chance to talk with him about this EP. And as you mentioned, you've been working on this album. I'd like to talk about a couple things about your work with Beyonce, because the first thing is how that did affect you when that dropped and your name was everywhere and nobody knew anything about you. Mm-hmm. And that's really cool, but it's also could be kind of frightening.
I mean, the idea of, you know, when it came out, it was incredible. And the idea of the thing that comes down or comes with going down a certain path was very, very unattractive to me. I never started doing this for any other reason than the fact that I love music and I feel that I have things that I want to say. There's something that I want to say. And that gave me the opportunity to do that in a really big way. But you don't get to choose, you know, the manhunt. You don't get to choose. And it's flattering and it's really, really interesting how people grabbed onto that to me. But it was just something that I was seeing from afar and just continuing to travel and live my life until it, you know, would show up in places that, you know, wasn't in the mood for.
Yeah. No, I can see that. I can see it would be really overwhelming.
Yeah.
Is it your kind of omnivore musical attitude and openness that was what attracted her to work with you? Or what? Can you talk a little bit about your working relationship and what mm-hmm. that was like?
I'm always honest with if something that I hear, if I just hate it, then I'll just say I hate that. And if I love it, I'm overjoyed with how incredible it is. And it's a real reaction that I have because, you know, sometimes, especially with music, if it hits me and it moves me, it's something that could, you know, totally break me as a person. And if it's something that doesn't, if it just doesn't do anything for me, then it's I'll say so. And I think she sees that honesty. And a lot of people that I work with see the real, it's true, honesty. And sometimes not everybody gets that.
Mm.
Sometimes not everybody gets somebody who for me, when I make an album, I put my entire being into it as if it was my own, you know, with another artist or whatever it'll be. So I treat it just as precious if I take on another project, which is why I would never do 100 projects at once that didn't inspire me. So she sees that, and it's a communication thing in a cool way. You make friends in unlikely places like that.
I was reading that some of the more emotional songs and the emotional pain on that album comes from things in your life. Mm-hmm. Is that accurate?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And she related to that?
Yes, she sure did. She did. Yeah, it's one of those really interesting and unexplainable things where two seemingly completely opposite people are, you know, in some ways the same, which is, you know, it's the kind of friendships that I've attracted to myself my entire life, just to be able to have a really kind of, you know, and that happens with any artist that I work with to a degree, to where it's the sounds and the music. You know, when I work with FKA Twigs, it's just the sounds. We're such, you know, we're ravenous for incredible, strange sounds that you've never heard before. And that inspires me. And then I can go somewhere and work on an album with Beyonce, and it's this form of adventure in a bigger and longer reach in some ways. Mm-hmm. And you see, well, how far out there can you get to kind of, you know, she did an incredible thing releasing that last album by her fan base expanded in a way that, you know, certain people I've worked with or talked with have just said, you know, I was always aware of Beyonce. You love Beyonce. She's been around in music for a couple of years and you appreciate what she does, but this thing made me a fan, you know, and I that's what I live for. It's the thing that just cuts down all the lines between people.
I'm sort of laughing on the inside here because I'm looking at you and hearing you talk, and you're such an indie rock kind of guy, and yet you're involved with some of the most commercial, you know, quote unquote things out there.
Sure.
It's really funny.
I don't know that I believe in the idea of indie to a degree anymore.
Right.
Because I think that the, you know, technology and the internet really flattened that, as far as I'm concerned. And to me, it's. You know, anybody can be pop. I'm more interested in being pop, and if I can make, you know, unholy noises on stage and people call it pop, then I win.
Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of cool.
So,
well, we've heard some of the unholy noises. I wanted to finish up with one of the quiet things you did, and I wasn't sure where this one was. Is it Oracle Eye?
Oracle Eyes.
I wasn't quite sure where that's from.
Oh, it's a new one. That's a brand new song. I love to be able to play songs that on the album could sound nothing like what they sound when you just play a song. And that's my aim for everything I make.
Mm-hmm.
So
when we hear this on the album, it'll be something
totally
else.
Different.
Yeah. Well, this is Oracle Eyes.
X's on my eyes, hexes on my satellite, oracle eyes. X's on my phone, all your drones are made of stone, oracle eyes. Hollywood in the 40s, UFOs in the USA, mystic circumcision, get the car keys. Robin Hood, what a poor man, UNO for the final days, heavy kettle, princess marking trees, shame on the rain. Drink from the vein, come take a seat and marvel at the modern world. X's on my eyes, hexes on my satellite, oracle eyes. X's on my phone, all your drones are made of stone, oracle eyes. Chasing tails, speaking braille. Oh, the stones you've known have rolled and rolled, just doing what they're told. Give me a break, how much can we take? Sit back and take a bow for the mountain. But strangers are strangers. Yeah.
Hexes on my eyes, hexes on my satellites. Oracle, oracle lies. Hexes on my phone, oh, you drones, I'm made of stone. Oracle, oracle.
Oracle Eyes from my guest Boots, and that was live on stage at World Cafe Live. That's another side of what he does. And Jordan, great to meet you.
Wonderful to meet you. Thank you.
I'm David Dye. World Cafe Words and Music from WXBN is produced at WXBN in Philadelphia. If you'd like to hear more of our World Cafe sessions and get daily cafe alerts, you can sign up at our website at worldcafe.npr.org. As always, thanks for spending your time with the World Cafe.